for tuning in for another edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. We're ready to run down the top news and information from this past week in Indiana and U.S. agriculture, including how tar spot might be impacting harvest activity, where the presidential candidates stand on ag issues, how Indiana farmland prices set records in 2024, and the importance of being patient and sharing the road with our farmers this harvest season. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today. CJ Miller and Sabrina Halverson join me to help deliver the news, and Andy Eubank will have grain market analysis coming up shortly. Let's begin today's show with weather and our first weekly installment of the Seed Genetics Direct Harvest Weather Forecast. Harvest should get off to a good start in northern Indiana this weekend for fields that are ready to go. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says to expect sunshine and blue skies from I-70 North this weekend.
We are also looking at humidity values creeping up just a little bit, but I don't think it's going to be too much in terms of a slowing down and drying. We just don't have much moisture to work on trying to pull out of anything right now anyway. So not many problems in northern Indiana. Now the remains of Francine hold on through Friday and into early Saturday in southern and especially southwest Indiana. Might even see another round of moisture pop up in southern tier counties on Sunday as Francine dies down and goes away.
Next week looks to be very warm and very humid statewide.
I'm looking for us mostly to be rain free across the Hoosier State Monday through Friday. We are watching a little bit of tropical moisture come through the Carolinas, making a run at Ohio later in the midweek time frame. I don't think that throws anything more than a few clouds to our direction here. So I'm looking still at a wide open harvest window Monday through Friday of next week.
Now in Martin's extended forecast, he is watching a big cluster of showers and thunderstorms to our west over Iowa, Minnesota, and Illinois.
This is a multi-day cluster of shower and thunderstorm activity that's coming together, building out there, and I think it will try and move eastward, but likely not until later the 22nd and maybe into early the start of the week of the 23rd. So we're going to be watching that. When it comes, I think it has potential to bring us anywhere from half to maybe 2 inches of rain, but it's just lurking to the west right now, not an imminent threat. It shows up in the extended forecast window.
You can find more Seed Genetics Direct harvest weather forecast details at HoosierAgToday.com or in the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. You can also just stick around here on the weekend show. The full Indiana farm forecast is on the way here in less than 10 minutes. The price for Indiana's farmland keeps climbing higher. It set new records here in 2024. That's according to the latest survey from Purdue University. Here's CJ Miller.
$11,600 an acre. That's the price for average quality farmland, which is nearly 4% higher compared to last year. And that's according to the latest Purdue Farmland Values and Cash Rents Survey, which was released earlier this week. Dr. Michael Langemeyer, Associate Professor of Ag Economics at Purdue, points to a couple of different factors for the sharp rise in farmland values.
First of all, we ask them for long-term yields. They go up every year, 2-3 bushel, pretty much like clockwork, 2-3 bushel. Increase in those poor average and top corn yields. And so the productivity, we're getting more from that soil. And so that would tend to have some upward pressure, but more importantly is inflation.
The survey shows that the overall price for farmland across the U.S. has made a huge jump over the past 17 years.
I talk a lot about what has happened since 2007. When we were starting the ethanol boom, that's usually the time period I pick. Land values have more than doubled since 2007. I want to bring that up because that's so important to the balance sheet. As long as the farmland values still stay relatively high, we're going to have a strong balance sheet because farmland is over 80% of the U.S. balance sheet.
However, interest rate pressure and lower commodity prices have caused land values to moderate slightly in the first half of this year. Last month, as part of the Purdue Ag Economic Barometer Survey, Langemeyer says that more farmers are expecting farmland values to drop next year.
And essentially what happened in August is we saw a 10 to 11% increase in those that said lower farmland values. To put that in perspective, it was about 13% in July. Now it's 24% in August. That is a huge movement. It's pretty rare that we've seen that big a movement in terms of people that think we're going to have lower farmland values in the next 12 months.
You can find the full results of Purdue's survey at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
Back in drought-stricken 2022 and 23, you heard me report on low water levels on the Mississippi negatively impacting barge traffic and keeping your grain from where it needed to go. here in 24, no issues until now, and it comes at a bad time right near harvest.
Certainly continuing to dredge would be helpful in the lower Mississippi River. There was recently some groundings that had occurred.
That's Jason Selking with Consolidated Grain and Barge in southern Indiana. Barge companies are responding to low water levels by announcing limits on draft and tow size limitations. This will continue until more precipitation comes that way. Barge rates are higher as well. That's a short-term problem. Longer term, Selking says farmers need to be chatting with lawmakers about infrastructure improvements.
Maintaining the wonderful lock and dam system that we have, it's been longstanding and has been doing a wonderful job for us since the 1960s, but at some point continuing to maintain those locks so that they can be tried and true as they've been to provide us that known, efficient, and economical means of transportation.
Selking says it's important to have those crucial conversations with legislators to explain that the supply chain shouldn't be an obstacle to profitability, but instead it should help facilitate it. You're listening to Hoosier Ag This Week from Hoosier Ag Today. We thank you for doing so. More farm news on the way. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast coming up as well. Right now it's time for markets. Market analysis now with Brian Basting, an economist with Advanced Trading. He spoke with our Andy Eubank in the middle of the trading day on Friday.
Brian, we end the week with some additional gains in the corn and wheat markets. We'll have you explain that. But first of all, losses in soybeans after a nice move yesterday following the Thursday USDA crop report for September. But about nickel losses on beans as we speak in the middle of the trading session. Some profit taking going into the weekend?
Yeah, I think we've got a mixed bag here as we get into the early stages of harvest, as your listeners know, very early, mainly in the south so far. But some mixed news. I think we're getting some good bean yields in some of the areas in the south, maybe a bit of harvest pressure there, a bit of hedge pressure there sneaking in at the end of the week. We've had a good rally in bean prices too, off those lows seen back in August. And so maybe a little profit taking there. And corn, I think it may be just the opposite from the standpoint of maybe some short covering from the funds. They've held a short position for a long period of time. We are starting to see a little bit of export business. Export sales in the latest week were respectable for both corn and beans. For new crop, of course, we're in a new crop year now, more so for beans in the latest week. But we'll start to see if the end user, after this report that came out this week, starts to pursue these markets a bit further. But I'd say that the beans have just had a real good rally here the last 2-3 weeks after, obviously, an extended period of decline. So maybe a little bit of profit taking there and maybe a little bit of fun short covering to wrap up the weekend corn.
What about the wheat market? We see some nice gains, and it appears maybe a couple of factors at play, including the Black Sea.
It's dry. They're planting the crops, of course, the 25 crops are getting ready to plant the 25 winter wheat crops in Russia, Ukraine, that Black Sea region, as you said a moment ago. It's very dry at the moment. We all know that we don't make a wheat crop in the fall, whether you're in Russia or whether you're in central or southern Indiana, but it's still something that the market is looking at closely here, how important that Black Sea region is to the world wheat market.
Brian Basting there from Advanced Trading, 309-664-2314, if you want to reach Brian. On Friday, we finished higher in corn, up 7.25, 413 and a quarter. March up 6.5, 431. Novi beans down 4.5, 1006 and a quarter. Jan beans down 4.75, 1024 and 3/4. December wheat up 16.25, 594 and 3/4. In livestock, December live cattle down a dime, 178.50, and December lean hogs down a quarter, 71.30. That's the Friday Farm Market Review on Hoosier Ag This Week. The Indiana Farm Forecast is on the way next from Hoosier Ag Today.
There's something to be said about being early. You get a better place in line, maybe a better seat at the table, and sometimes being early will save you money. Like when you order seed early from Seed Genetics Direct. Place your order for the next growing season with Seed Genetics Direct by November 10th, and you'll save $10 per unit on corn and $2 per unit on soybeans. It's time to leave the nest, early birds, and visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com to order. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct.
It's like fertilizer for your brain. Every weekday morning, the Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter arrives in your inbox with the latest farm news, markets, and weather information. The kind of stuff you're going to need that day. So make sure you're feeding your brain with this free, easy-to-read, and important input. Sign up for the Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
Warm, dry air dominates the forecast again for this weekend. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast Weekend Edition. Harvest really started to advance forward here over the course of the past week just due to the fact that it's very warm and very dry. We're sucking moisture out of the crops very, very quickly. The remains of Francine tried to throw some moisture into southern Indiana late this past week. And, you know, it was welcome where it fell, but Francine stalled out quicker, and so moisture did not get quite as far north. Some folks were fine with that. Other folks were saying, oh, come on. If you wanted a rain to finish things out, yeah, you were disappointed. But this round of moisture, tropical moisture, you can't ever count on the tropics to do anything you want exactly to a T. So as we move through the weekend here, I think we'll see some lingering cloud cover in southwest Indiana. And maybe we have another shot at a few hit and miss scattered showers overnight Saturday night into Sunday morning. So tonight into tomorrow in southwest Indiana. But nobody else has that chance. Sunny, warm, and dry everywhere else. Humidity values, that's the other thing. Those have climbed, and we're going to be somewhat uncomfortable for the balance of the weekend and through most of this upcoming week. We are dry Monday through a Friday easily. Full sunshine, temperatures a good 10 to 15 degrees above normal, evaporation rates at near a maximum. But I've been chuckling with a few guys as we've talked evaporation rates this week. Really, the only thing we're evaporating right now is moisture out of harvestable seeds or kernels. There's nothing to suck up out of the ground or anywhere else. So this is all evapotranspiration, not really evaporation. That's what's fueling the humidity, and it's definitely drying crops down quickly. We look at a very active weather pattern starting to develop later this week into the weekend back to our west. Nebraska, Iowa, southern Minnesota, parts of Wisconsin, western Illinois, all seeing some significant rain and thunderstorms trying to come together from late Thursday through Friday, Saturday, Sunday. However, that moisture is hitting this dry air mass that we have in place here and really losing a lot of punch. I think we can see a few hit and miss scattered showers over the weekend into early next week in Michigan, but I also am fearing that we get through this upcoming weekend, so the weekend of the 21st and 22nd, with no good moisture in Indiana, and we're going to have to put all of our eggs into this system holding together for early the week of the 23rd, Monday the 23rd. Don't get me wrong, there's good moisture out west, but I think you have to really look at this column of air that we have over the eastern Corn Belt and realize how dry it is. And it's going to take a massive weather system to overcome some of that dryness. Keeping our fingers crossed that we do get some of that moisture early next week. But by early next week, we may be in the throes of harvest everywhere, even with some of these later beans. And a finishing rain may not help, depending on where you're at. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Time is running out to earn more for your acres. The Soil and Water Outcomes Fund pays farmers to begin or expand on-farm conservation, like reduced tillage and cover crops. Last year, they paid farmers an average of $33 per acre. They offer one-year contracts, and 50% is paid prior to verification. Get paid to reduce erosion, improve your soil health, and more. Hurry to their website to request a payment estimate, theoutcomesfund.com. That's the OutcomesFund.com. Online at HoosierAgToday.com, on your phone on the HAT mobile app, or on your radio on over 70 fantastic radio stations across this great state, you're listening to Hoosier Ag This Week from Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Thanks for joining us. For more than 40 years, the American Farm Bureau Federation has asked every presidential candidate for their stance on agricultural issues. Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump have provided their answers to the questionnaire, and Farm Bureau Executive Vice President Joby Young says the survey is a key tool for rural Americans.
The presidential election is an opportunity for every American to cast their vote and voice their opinion on the direction they hope the country goes. And for more than 40 years, AFBF has asked every presidential candidate in the general election to provide responses on issues that are likely to impact farmers and ranchers in rural communities. We receive responses, and we share those responses unedited so that our members and any interested voter can decide for themselves what they think about the answers that they hear from the presidential candidates.
The survey contains 14 questions and covers a broad array of topics.
Everything from crop insurance to taxes to agricultural labor to sustainability. We also ask questions about regulatory reform, food system resiliency, energy, biotechnology. We got responses from both the Harris and Trump campaigns, and we've taken their answers and we've made them available to view.
Young says Farm Bureau is in a unique position to present this type of information.
We know what's important to them, the issues that affect rural communities and that affect farm and ranch families. So we formulate those issues into specific questions, these 14 questions that cover those issues, like I mentioned, crop insurance, taxes, labor, sustainability. And this gives us an opportunity to present those directly to the candidates and the candidates to hear those questions and understand what our members and folks across rural America and the farm and ranch community care about and respond in their own words.
To see the questions and answers from the candidates, visit the Farm Bureau website. There's a link on our website, HoosierAgToday.com. Harvest time is here, and one concern may be tar spot. It's now reached all corners of the state. Our CJ Miller has more.
For this season, we do have new areas where tar spot's causing a bigger problem than it had previously.
And that's Dr. Darcy Talenko, field crop pathologist at Purdue University. She says that Randolph County and pockets of East Central Indiana are showing the biggest signs of impact this growing season because of this year's weather conditions.
Tar spot, initially, those spores need a lot of leaf wetness for those initial spores to infect and cause the disease. So in some areas, we've seen that where we've had the right moisture turned on the disease and that the dryness that also made it fluctuate a bit.
And even though she and her team haven't confirmed tar spot in all 92 of Indiana's counties, she believes the disease is probably found somewhere in each county.
We've confirmed it in 87 of our 92 counties because it's confirmed it in previous years. Because of this, we know the disease survives year after year. So 87 of the counties I know have had a previous history of tar spot. There's still five that we probably got to get into and find it. I suspect it's there. But in order for me to turn a county active even in season or where we previously haven't found it, I either need a good sample sent into the diagnostic lab or sometimes a good image can help me confirm it to the county.
Talenko says the tar spot could create a big problem during harvest.
If tar spot's moved in and it's gotten severe enough, I'd be keeping an eye on some of those fields on making decision on what fields need to be harvested first. As we have seen issues where if there wasn't a fungicide applied, tar spot is very severe. It could increase the risk for lodging. So again, the growers should be getting out now and making an assessment of what the crop looks like, what the canopy looks like, and, you know, is there risk for lodging or is there risk for other ear rot developments to make those harvest decisions of what fields may need to go first.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. I'm CJ Miller.
All right, CJ, thanks. Pork producers around the country continue to decide whether they'll conform to California's Prop 12, which sets specific housing requirements for hogs, or decide not to sell their pork for that state. Sabrina Halverson has an update with the leaders of the National Pork Producers Council. Sabrina?
California voters passed Proposition 12 in November of 2018, and the final stages of implementation went through earlier this year. National Pork Producers Council President Lori Stevemer of Minnesota says the NPPC continues to look to Congress to force a change to California's law.
The Supreme Court said that Congress has the authority to assert its interstate commerce power. That's what we're asking as a federal preemption. So one state does not tell another state how to raise their pigs, but handles the matters within their own state, which, you know, that's what we do in Minnesota. We watch out for ourselves. So really hoping that we can get that federal solution through the Farm Bill.
Also speaking on behalf of the National Pork Producers Council at its media briefing this week, pork producer and NPPC president-elect Dwayne Statler of Ohio.
California has the right to designate whatever happens with whatever kind of meat they want to sell in California. And I think with what you see out of what's in the Farm Bill, it makes it to where you can have a regulation within your own state, but you cannot force that type of regulation out onto producers in another state. If I'm growing pigs in Ohio, I'd ought to be able to market them in Ohio or Indiana or anywhere else where I meet their qualifications. But to set different qualifications to force a producer in another state to have to meet a regulation just to market in this market, that's fine. But you need a free market enterprise.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
All right, Sabrina, thanks. In other news, the House of Representatives passed the Protecting U.S. Farmland from Foreign Adversaries Act on Wednesday. The legislation would increase scrutiny of foreign bids to purchase U.S. farmland, particularly from adversaries like China, North Korea, Russia, and Iran. Senators Chuck Grassley, a Republican from Iowa, And Mike Braun, the Republican from Indiana, introduced a companion bill in the Senate. You can read more on that at HoosierAgToday.com. It was a busy week for Senator Braun, as he also focused on his campaign here in Indiana. On Friday, he issued his agriculture policy agenda for Indiana's farmers and rural Hoosiers. Again, you can read that policy at HoosierAgToday.com. There's still much more to come here on the weekend show, including a couple of very important topics. This month is Suicide Prevention Month, and you'll be sharing the road with 94,000 Indiana farmers here because harvest season is upon us. More Hoosier Ag this week on the way.
Ag Bioscience, the number one ag tech podcast globally, is now available on video. Hear the latest from innovators in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
Share more about the insights you found from working with Indiana farmers for Producer-Led Challenge.
What's your ability to manage and the greatest impact to profit? So this is about sustaining operations and profitability. It's managing the labor force and kind of the technology and all the aspects that go with us. Great impact to profitability that's difficult to manage. And then really the administrative functions, managing all the administrative tasks. I talked earlier about, you know, kind of the future driving forces. And so administrative may pop into our head of, you know, just getting the bills paid and things of that nature, and interest rates, which are super important and impact. But we're also looking at the data required to access certain markets.
Get more episodes online at agrinovisindiana.com. Click on podcasts. Also available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us on Hoosier Ag this week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today. September is World Suicide Prevention Month. Tuesday the 10th was World Suicide Prevention Day. As those in the ag industry know all too well, farming is one of the most stressful jobs out there.
The farm is who we are. That's part of our identity, and anything that threatens that identity can be really stressful.
That's Dr. Remington Rice, health and farm stress educator for Michigan State Extension. Changing weather, changing commodity prices, broken equipment, everyday life, this can all bring about undue stress for farmers. Occasionally, you'll see a picture of one of those situations on social media with a caption that says, "Go check on your farmer friends. They're not okay." And it's meant to be, I don't know, some kind of joke. The reality is, it isn't a joke. You probably should go check on them. Rice gives some things you should look out for in your farmer friends.
If someone doesn't really talk about death or dying and suddenly they do, that could be a warning sign. You know, giving away prized possessions. If Farmer John comes to me and says, "I want you to have my prized hunting rifle. I don't need it anymore." That could be a warning sign. Feeling hopeless, empty, withdrawal. Part of this, it's kind of like a gut feeling.
Rice also adds you should be asking them open-ended questions about how they're doing. So instead of asking, "How are you doing?" it should be something like, "What's going well for you?" Farmers, if you're struggling with your mental health or contemplating suicide, call 988. Visit extension.purdue.edu/farmstress. for more resources. House Republicans have introduced a stopgap funding bill to keep the government funded after September 30th. It does not include a one-year farm bill extension. Here's C.J. Miller.
The stopgap may give lawmakers more time this Congress to nail down a new farm bill. Joe Gilson with American Farm Bureau says it's possible that any action regarding the farm bill may be ironed out during the lame duck session of Congress after the November 5th election.
And that could come in terms of if they want to just kick it to the next Congress, an extension, or if there's a strong support for a five-year farm bill, there's about a month and a half to get something done in the lame duck.
Gilson had expected lawmakers to hold out on another extension until the lame duck session.
I know they want to get the appropriations done with so that we're not at risk of a shutdown in the end of September.
Earlier this week, over 300 ag groups have signed a letter that was sent to House and Senate leaders pushing for a new farm bill to be passed in 2024. The ag groups are asking lawmakers for a bill that strengthens the safety net, as many producers are facing multiple years of not being profitable, and it's causing their overall financial situation to deteriorate. Meanwhile, lawmakers in Congress have been deadlocked for months when it comes to the new farm bill over funding for SNAP, higher crop subsidy spending, and climate mitigation. Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
All right, CJ, thanks. As we've mentioned, harvest season is here, and that means sharing the road with Indiana's 94,000 farmers and their slow-moving equipment to get your food out of the ground. State agencies are asking motorists to be alert and patient to make sure everyone gets home safely.
You know, it's interesting, as a farmer, you really focus on safety with the things that you have control of, you know, the mechanical issues that you might touch. But it is interesting, when you get out on the road, there's a lot of things that are out of our control. So we can do what we can, but we also need help from the public to do their part.
That's Indiana State Department of Agriculture Director Don Lamb, who also farms in Boone County. He appears in a new harvest safety video alongside Amy Kinsler with Keystone Cooperative to promote patience and safe driving this harvest season. Kinsler says people may not realize just how large this equipment is until they're right up on it.
This equipment is quite large. It's quite difficult to navigate. It's not as easy as just pulling your passenger car off the side of the road to allow someone to pass. And so, again, coming back to that patience and understanding that the farmer and the Keystone employee or any retail employee, we're trying to get off the road and out of your way as quickly as we can. So being aware of that and allowing us the time to do it. We have a lot of folks that help us by, they pull over for us and they help us get past them, which we appreciate greatly. But just being aware of where they're pulling over, what's across the road from them. Is there a mailbox over there or a telephone pole that might keep us from being able to get by still, even with the size of our equipment, is really an important consideration, and we appreciate it greatly when the public does that.
Farmers will pull over when it's safe to do so. Please don't pass in a no-passing zone or within 100 feet of any intersection, railroad crossing, bridge, elevation structure, or tunnel. And please avoid tailgating. Lamb says while driving, be on the lookout for the slow-moving vehicle sign.
That familiar triangle that you see a lot of times today with modern equipment has been replaced with beacons and flashers, and we look like a Christmas tree going down the road. But really, that sign might be the only thing on an older piece of equipment still that's still moving at a very slow rate of speed.
And that sign means that vehicle doesn't move any faster than 25 miles per hour. Watch and share the harvest safety video on our social media channels at Hoosier Ag Today on Facebook and X. Let's all get home safely this harvest season. That does it for this edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. Thanks for joining us. We'll do it again next weekend. Same hat time, same hat channel. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.